today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
No, I think the big birds.
Oh, the big birds live like 80s.
Yeah. Your cockatiels and stuff.
You had
like
one
that.
In your neighborhood in Manassas that you would sometimes see out behind your house. A neighbor had one. Big red one. Yeah.
What, like a bird? Like a parrot?
Yeah. I saw him a few times outside your house in Manassas.
What do you mean, flying?
Well, I mean, he took him outside.
He'd like hang out with them on like his shoulder or on the fence.
Yeah.
Well, how did I miss this?
We would park on the side of your house and see your neighbors all the time.
All the time.
You remember I had a firsthand experience with Tim Tebow in Los Angeles?
No.
Oh, yeah. The girls and guys were staring at the pool, and I'm like, I thought it was some A-list celebrity. There's got to be, Johnny Depp has to be on the side of the pool. No, it's Tim Tebow, like a Greek god getting out of the pool. And I was like, well, I guess we should all stare. Like, he looks good.
Hey, talk about a tight end, you know?
Tebow will turn 34.
Oh, you know what?
Vegas was very different.
Yeah.
So Oscar gambles like he's angry at his money.
Yes.
That's
the best way to put it.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Talk show hosts say this all the time, but in this particular case, it's absolutely true. Too much show today. And
yes.
Too much show, not because of me, because of my compatriots that brought me things that I want to talk about right away. Mm-hmm. And we have just too much show. So hopefully we'll get everything. I'd like to button it up on the end of the week. But before we do anything, it's our response. Oh, let me welcome everybody to the show. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. And we're enjoying our second decade of the show that has become a daily routine for thousands of listeners. Great places like Columbus, Ohio. Sutter Creek, California. Sutter rhymes with butter.
It does.
Indian Beach, Florida. Regina, Saskatchewan. Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada.
Lady.
Bath, North Carolina. Sao Paulo, Brazil. And all over the world. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now. Let's bring in our talking head. He's already here. Fine-looking gentleman. What are you playing?
I think the theme for the talking head now is going to be soap. I like it because it ties into the tagline, the last sentence of the bio.
I don't know. I love the theme to soap.
Yeah.
I think it's wonderful. But, well, let's see how it works.
See how it flies.
Stop it
back.
Again and start it from the beginning.
All right. All right? Okay, go ahead.
Now it's time to bring in our talking head. Professor Daniel P. Johnson. Dan Johnson is a 28-year listener who is both driven in a demolition. It works.
I like it.
So now I'm going to start it a third time.
Okay.
Because I love it.
It came to me in a dream.
At first I was going
to
yell at you because I really thought, well, first of all, that's what I do. But secondly, I thought really, you know, it really does kind of. Is this the first time you've played it today?
Yeah, it is. As
for
a matter
this?
Of fact. Yeah, because what happens is, you know, soap would start.
Sorry,
with,
Dan, we'll get to you in a second.
Yeah, pipe down, pal.
All right.
Soap used to start with a lengthy recap of what was going on.
You got to move that giant head. Your head, I mean, I'm going to explain Mike's technique one last time to you.
Mike, can we please
No, no, listen. No, your head is the size of a Carnival cruise ship.
Okay.
So when you move it, when you turn to the left, you're turning about 6 feet. So it's going,
I want to go like that.
You have to keep this.
Don't
and
look
if
at
you
me.
Have to, if you have to, do this. When you're moving, because when you're both in the studio together, it sounds hollow.
Yes.
And I want your dulcet
so
tones
loud.
To be heard.
All right.
Yeah, what because this is Rob. All right. This is Rob doing a mic check.
Mm-hmm.
Test one, test one, test two, test one. And then the show starts and Rob goes, "Wa-da-ba-ba," and you're louder. You're louder by about half, I would say. And so just want everybody to hear you. That's
all right. Well, it's very important what I'm about to say. So I'm going to get right on the mic and I want
Good.
Everyone to stop.
This is great. You
doing.
Actually sound better.
Oscar, stop. Good. Because I'm going to say something very important.
All right.
There was a television program called Soap. And it was sort of a homage to soap operas. A bit of a parody. But it would start.
Bit of a parody was a total parody.
It started out with a recap of what was going on so you could join the show at any time and know what plot points you needed to know.
And now here's something.
Yeah, and it was Rod Roddy.
Works for this.
Rod Roddy was the announcer. And so we do the same thing for the Talking Head, and I've even stolen the last line, which is, intrigued? You should be. Stay tuned. Okay. So that's why. Right. You want to set it up?
All right. Yeah. Here we go.
Yes.
Yeah, let's bring in our touch. Jesus. Sometimes the show's too much effort just to get to it. Professor Daniel P. Johnson. Dan Johnson is a 28-year listener who has both driven in a demolition derby and attended our first Vegas show. He found that both experiences were surprisingly similar. That's funny. Dan is a professor of packaging science. Oh, that right there. I could stop right there, and I got the half hour.
Yeah,
I could stop. Oh, now this is not exciting to anybody else on the show.
No, I disagree.
We love
everybody
it.
Everybody loves this. Yes.
Yeah,
we he's do at the kicks. Rochester Institute of Technology (RIT). Packaging science is the design, development, and manufacturing of packaging solutions to deliver your food, pharmaceuticals, vaccines, electronics, and Oreos. Everything from corn chips to artificial hips. Artificial hips. He is a longtime bonus show subscriber. And his dream job is a game show announcer. Yeah, me too. I'd love to do that. He lives in Henrietta, New York with his box girlfriend, Kaylee, her son, Ben, and a rescue German shepherd named Sasha.
Well, Sasha, we have Sasha bite you in leg if you do not perform right way, eh?
I wish my son was here for that. let's see here. Prior to his professordom, he worked in a research lab and was also an automotive engineer. Smart guy. When he originally happened on the show on WHTK, dumb luck, he was forced to become a stealthy listener.
Yes.
See, it says he was forced to a stealthy listener.
Yes.
What do you mean yes? You say yes.
I screwed up.
$20.
Is everything okay with the typos lately?
There's
like
been two,
every single day?
There's been two typos
serious.
In a month.
I have to stop on the air. What?
There's been two typos in a month. No, I know because I pay the money.
Well,
I know.
So what happened in the last 24 hours when I've had like real important
He's had two
ones.
Typos I mean, in 24 hours.
That's true, but if you go in the long range.
It sounds better
do you
in
need
a month.
Is there anybody, when we get down to Podville, that could be Mallet Head's assistant here? To help him with these little like mini strokes that he has,
I think there could be some support. But he's a grown man; he's 50. He should be able to do this.
This is true.
Well, speaking of 50, for Dan's 50th birthday, he got his first motorcycle license and an Indian. Oh, Springfield!
Ooh.
I love Harleys, but man, I think if I got back into it, I think I'd probably I'd get an Indian. I think they're great bikes. Fun fact: his late wife. Was Marie Osmond's personal assistant.
Wow.
Yeah. All-time favorite bit, James Gandolfini talking to Tony Soprano. Might be one of mine, too. Professor Johnson was treated rudely alongside Mike at Buffalo's legendary Anchor Bar. This is going to be so much fun. Gambled alongside Oscar in Vegas and was once overserved alongside Rob. Intrigued? You should be.
Nice.
And now... Here's Dan. That was a long intro, but a good intro. And
lots of stuff to cover.
I don't even know where to begin. Dan, welcome to the show, Professor. It's great to have you on the show.
Thank you, Mike. It's fun to be here.
I have to start with something that really jumped out. When years ago, Carl and I did a swing through upstate New York and had a wonderful time with some listeners in Buffalo. And the location that we chose was the bar at the Anchor Bar. And they had a super tude that day. You can fill in the blanks with that. I remember it just being our feeling was we've got all these people that we brought to kind of support the cause, and it wasn't a situation where they were so crowded, especially in the bar area, that they couldn't use the business, and they were acting like they were doing us a favor. That's my memory. Would that be close to what you remember about it?
You're right on. Right, that place is a tourist trap. If you're in Buffalo and you want wings, you got to go to Duff's.
There it is. That's what we all were kind of. Then I came back on the show right after that and promoted Duff's, even though Jimmy uses, I think, the Anchor wing sauce. But
well,
I don't want to mention
you can get your sauce.
Yeah, you can get your sauce there. No problem. I just don't want to mention, I'm feeling a little worried about lawyers this week. So I
step lightly.
Wish I could tell you about that. Dan, congratulations. Packaging
science. How do you, so there is an actual course study of packaging science at RIT, which to me is just, how does one get into that field? I'm fascinated by packaging in the United States, where we do it better, correct me if I'm wrong, than anybody else in the world.
Well, we do it safely, right? That's at least an upside, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
But really, really, it's a combination of like aesthetic design, right? Of having things look good and be marketable. Engineering, in terms of, you know, having things survive getting to your doorstep, right? Especially with e-commerce, we've kind of exploded. You know, our students have 100% placement just about every year, just because every company needs it. And packaging is something that's easy to be mediocre at. But boy, it's challenging if you really, really want to do it well.
So if you're going to tell a kid that might have an engineering sense and be good at design and good at engineering, although engineers, you know, when you talk about the idea of engineers getting jobs, it's always been a wonderful field to be in. But if you were telling kids, you know, what type, you know, they're kind of floating around, they're not sure, you would say this was this is pretty good for the job prospects when you get out of school.
Oh, it's very strong. And especially if you've got sort of a creative bent too, right? You're thinking about maybe going into art and design, but also interested in science and engineering kinds of things. And maybe even business, right? Because there's a big business marketing aspect to it. And so folks that sort of cross over a couple of different areas really fit well in packaging.
Man, oh man. And I bet there are a bunch of people. I bet there are a bunch of billionaires floating around that have packaging companies that do that, you know, cardboard fill. You know, the guy with a $5 million house. Yes, Oscar, you were going to ask something. Go ahead.
Well, I've dipped my toe in this world in the past. We had to ship 8-pound mangrates across the country and around the world. And I found out during that process that there's different types of cardboard that weigh different ways. And if you
What about the fruitcake?
Oh, yeah,
fold a piece of cardboard a certain way, it can hold more weight, and it's rated. And even with the fruitcake.
Yeah, Oscar led on this, but we designed a fruitcake box.
Yes.
We have an actual custom stamp box for our fruitcakes. It's crazy.
Did you get
it's excellent,
done?
Actually, I got a fruitcake, and
I'm so glad I was going to ask you.
Oh,
so the fruitcake is but right now would be an opportunity for any tweaking we could do. Is there anything that you would say? I'm trying to think.
There are like cost of goods built into this. Like we can only afford a certain type of cardboard. We can't have an Apple package that opens up like a
butterfly. I do remember when Oscar said, wouldn't it be fun if we got custom printing on it? And we said, that would be fun and expensive.
Yeah. Don't get your panties all in a wad. I'm just trying to give a little free advice here. I mean, that's what we're going to do. You know, as far as the, I remember, I think the packaging on the fruitcakes is good. And
you don't get the actual packaging though, because I usually send you multiple fruitcakes.
Okay.
So you get a different box. We had designed a single, I think it's 4 1/4 by 4 1/4 by 8 that holds the fruitcake exactly.
Brutal honesty right now, Professor.
Give it to us. Yeah.
Tell me what you think about the packaging of our fruitcakes.
I think it's excellent. If you could get a hold of a shrink tunnel, because the tray inside is actually wrapped in like saran wrap kind of thing, right? Multiple layers. And you could run that through a shrink tunnel, and it would be really tight, right? You'd have a really nice seal in there.
I like it.
You know, that's the nickname I have for my wife.
Gross.
It's funny, though. He's good at that. That's good. That was one where he went, yeah, see, Oscar, we can't ignore when he nails that one. Expensive to get one of these shrink tunnels or
yeah,
not?
They're a little bit of money, but, you know, if you found the right operation, maybe you could just run in and shrink a whole bunch of stuff.
All right. Packaging aside, how did you enjoy the flavor of the fruitcake?
It's outstanding.
Yes, it's
outstanding.
It is. It pairs
very nicely with Irish whiskey.
It does. Yeah. Very cool. So that's cool. That is a very, very cool thing to do. It's very, very unique. Certainly when you're talking about vaccines and keeping them at a certain temperature, that's a pretty big deal right now, too, I would imagine.
Yeah, we actually have a lab that simulates what it's like when you ship things, right? So it's got a vibration table, and it simulates what it's like in the back of the truck. And when RIT was basically shut down at the start of this thing, we had to get special permission to open that lab up because we were testing, you know, different vaccine transportation devices. And if you get FDA certification for something, right, for a medical device, you actually have to certify the transportation of it as well, right? So we had to open up to do that.
Now, I'm curious, when you get into your field, what the progression is when you end up in the area that you're in. I would imagine students of yours, certainly at a technological institute, have to have a pretty strong science and STEM background with science, technology, math as well. Is that pretty accurate for people that go to the Institute of Technology?
Yeah, but we try to keep the curriculum such as, you don't, you know, if you go to certain schools, there's not a lot of STEM content in high school in some places, right? And so we try to keep it as accessible as you can. Certainly, if you've got chemistry, right, you get to take chemistry in high school. And any sort of computer-based design experience is awesome as well.
What if there was one company that has made leaps and bounds when it comes to the way products are packaged and delivered? Would it be Amazon? Would it be the big Amazonian? Or would there be somebody Apple. Else on the... would it be Apple?
Apple does a really nice job with their packaging, but they've also got a lot of margin to do it with, right? So, right. You know, they can really do it nice. The people I'm always impressed by are the folks that are doing food packaging, right? Because you're really... you know, entrusting people, right? That you're really doing that properly. And the one I like currently is Mondelez. Mondelez is the owner of one of my favorite brands, which is Oreos. Right. And the resealable Oreos, I really like those, right? Because you can peel that top off, you can get an Oreo, you can put it back down, and it's like you're never even there.
Yeah.
Why would you ever need to reseal it?
I know.
I knew that was coming, but I was waiting for it.
I do have a question.
I was just going, one more time. Go ahead, Rob.
I know that you talked about pharmaceuticals, and a lot of businesses have suffered in the pandemic, but because of all the e-commerce, is this like a golden era for packaging? Because everything is coming through the mail now.
Yeah, the e-commerce really exploded packaging, but people are thinking more about what's in their food. Right. And so if you want to go to an organic product, you actually have to step up the packaging. Right. Because you can get bread that you can get white bread that you can leave right on the kitchen counter and it's never going to go bad. Right. The packaging is just dust cover because it's got so many preservatives in it. But if you buy organic bread, if you leave that bag open for even 10 seconds, right, it's turning on you. Yeah. Right. So that's really, you know, that's people so asking cool. questions about their product is really what's driving it.
I mean, so you dig what you do, molding these, get it, molding these young minds at RIT to go on to be young packagers is such a cool specialty.
Do you ever deal with complaints? Like, do people call you and say like, this sucks?
Yeah, I get
what do you mean? He doesn't
letters.
Do the packaging. He teaches people how to go into a job with the packaging.
Well, it's sort of a leading question.
He doesn't work at the Oreo factory, for Christ's sake.
Mentioned them twice.
I get letters from people. Like I got an angry letter, like from an angry old man who was mad about something called a welded clamshell, right? Which is the
oh no, that was we did that at American University. I don't. That's, I can't help myself.
You know, that's the plastic where you have to cut it around the outside.
Yes, yes.
Right? Yeah. And you usually security. Cut yourself or something.
Right, right.
What you want is something called a set of offset shears, right? Which is almost like a cutting tool, but it's offset, like a pair of scissors. It's offset by about an inch, right? So you can cut right around the outside of those guys without hurting yourself.
Let me ask you this. My son has also given up on the Kobe B-17.
Oh, now. He gave up too, even after he furloughed too. You?
Well, he got mad and he started from scratch. I wasn't here for it, but apparently he sort of tore the thing apart. It's the most difficult thing I've ever seen. It's not Lego. It's a long way from Lego.
Yeah.
And here's the problem. You don't connect everything with Kobe. So the little Lego blocks don't all connect to each other. You have to kind of lay them in place and then wait to connect them. And it makes it almost impossible. It's very, very difficult. So I don't know why I'm asking the professor about this.
Can you come over and fix his airplane, Dan?
I don't know. I mean, I'd like to. You know, this is something I'd send out if I didn't know any better. It's crazy.
You know, being an engineer, you always get this question, right? Like, hey, can you fix this, right? And people ask me to fix things. I have no idea what they are. And I just read the directions and can fix it, right? It's often just a matter of patience.
Well, the directions suck, Professor. Mm-hmm. That's the way I look at this. As far as I just have to ask you, I'm sorry that you lost your wife. That's terrible for a man as young as you. She was assistant to Marie Osmond. That had to be pretty fascinating, I would think. A good experience for her when she was doing that?
it was pretty wild. She was traveling with Marie. It was when she was a country singer. Okay. Like late 80s, early 90s.
Sure.
And so she just had 1,000 stories, right? Like she met Lucille Ball and got hit on by Kenny Rogers.
Hey. That's very, very, very cool. You know, we appreciate all the people from your part of the country. It really is a very special part, upstate New York. We caught fire on the old Don and Mike show up in that area, and then I was gratified when I started the podcast that I could go up into that area. The passion of people, there's something about people in upstate New York, in the Rochester, Buffalo area, that's they're unlike any other people. The sense of humor is, I do you think it's born out of being in the snow belt up there? I mean, born out of the long, difficult winters, because I swear to God, I just find my friends like Jimmy, and I got a few friends down here from the Buffalo area that just have, you know, there's a new friend of mine, my friend Mark, who's just got a great sense of humor, loves to laugh. I mean, there's a sense of humor is an important part of that part of the country. It really is.
Absolutely. Right. And, you know, I always said the Midwest starts at Syracuse. Right. So there's a little bit of a Midwest thing that, you know, everybody stops calling it soda and starts calling it pop.
Yes. And I was New England, so I was soda. And then there's, of course, the combination of soda pop. But pop is definitely Midwestern and upstate New York.
And there are regions
and
where
the accent is also Midwestern, which I didn't know until I came down here. When did you get back? I got back on that. You know, I got a guy from Buffalo, a buddy of mine, who I'm like yeah. Everything that he says when I'm listening to the guy. But it's a great, great place. Great place to be up there. How long did you do the car engineering job when you were an engineer in car design? Another fascinating line of work. How long did you participate in that?
I only did that about a year. And then, you know, the automotive industry goes up and down, right? Yeah. So you got a great job 1 year and then you're gone the next year. And so that's when I got interested in packaging. And you know, grad school all of a sudden becomes a great option when all of a sudden you're not an automotive engineer
anymore. What was it like working on the DeLorean?
Yeah.
You know, I worked for Bendix, so I actually did brake pads, right? So it wasn't a very exciting area.
Oh, no wonder.
Just like in Tommy Boy.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Callahan Automotive.
You can put a grandpa in a box and call it guaranteed. When you look with an engineer's eye, and I like talking to engineers because it's so far away from what I do. And when we think of engineers in broadcasting, we think of you know, guys that are eating Doritos and you know, plugging things.
He does not have the engineer physique.
But the engineers we work with. When you look at, for example, a new automobile, when you're out there with your background in engineering, do you look at things through a different lens? Because I find that automobiles, especially now, have gotten into an area where there's a tremendous amount of sameness. It's very rare that you see something come on the horizon that's certainly available to the masses that's truly special. They don't come around very often.
Yeah, it's very true. I mean, I got so sick of seeing sort of dark gray, small SUV kind of vehicles, right?
Mm-hmm. Crossovers.
And so I actually went out and got a Volkswagen GTI recently.
Okay.
And that's a car that's been the same for like 20 years, right?
But right.
It's really just done so well.
Diesel?
But it's the details. Oh, definitely not a diesel. No, that's the turbo one.
As far as the electric, have you seen the new Volkswagen electric car that they have?
Yes, I actually just saw one at the dealership the other day, and it's really nicely done. And it's not overcooked, right? Some of the electric cars, they just do things just for entertainment value, I think.
The Mustang electric leaves me cold. I don't know what they were thinking. I don't know what they were
smoking.
It's
a crossover.
But it just doesn't look, I mean, right, Oscar? It doesn't look anything like a real Mustang when I'm looking
at it. Well, they wanted to make it look like an SUV, like a sporty SUV.
But I hear it has great brake pads.
Stop on a dime.
So we covered
don't ever buy the cheap ones.
we covered you and me. We had a great time up in Buffalo. And now we'll go right down the line because you've had personal contact with all three of us. So you and I met at a very intimate meet and greet with a very limited number of listeners in Buffalo.
thoughts on that, and then we'll move on to the other two principles on the program before we let you go.
Well, you know, I was out of town and had to drive back to Rochester that night, so I was not lubricated sufficiently. So I was kind of stalking in the corner a little bit, right? But Vegas was very different.
Yeah, Vegas was part.
Vegas, let me baby. See.
Yeah, you gambled alongside Oscar in Las Vegas. How was that experience for you?
So Oscar gambles like he's angry at his money.
Yes,
that's
best way to put it.
That
yes,
is so true.
My money needs to make
I
more money
faster.
I've
never heard it expressed better. That is yes. I sat with Oscar one time at a table and said, "What are you doing?
Yeah. I want to get it over with.
Trying to throw you want it. You do. You want to get, and that's probably a similar type of thing. Was I don't suppose Oscar had had any adult beverages when that happened.
Oh, certainly not. No,
of course not.
They're free, you know, Mike. If you're gambling,
and you know, and here's the thing. Of all three of us, nobody has more intimate contact, shoulder to shoulder, lingers longer, hangs out more than Rob Spiewak with the listening audience. And it says you were once overserved alongside Rob. That means you were actually shoulder to shoulder with the very jovial Rob Spiewak. What was your impression of that?
It was at the second location, and that's always dangerous. And Rob and I were sort of swaying together, right? Like, I would call it teetering.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of...
Yeah.
We're still here, but, you know, we're...
Well, what was the second location? What was the original and then the second location?
Was it the Nugget?
Yeah.
If you made it to the Nugget afterwards, second location.
Yeah, I remember that night. Spent a week there.
Yes, and I joined a group of people at the bar, Katie Von.
Yes.
Von Herman, Sacco, and Vanzetti. That's correct.
Yeah.
Who is now recovering from major, major jaw reconstructive surgery and doing very, very well. And we don't say it enough. I'm glad you brought her name up. Katie, we love you, and we want you to get well better. I'm glad she's making progress. When's the last time you talked to her?
Talked to her last weekend. She's on more. She's allowed to talk more because her jaw was wired shut.
To her like 3 weeks ago. And she sounds fine.
She's doing great. They're moving to a new home in Savannah, and they're dealing with all that, which is a lot of stress on top of major surgery. But her mood, as always, is great.
Very sweet.
And she's actually ahead of schedule on her recovery.
Poor Dan.
Good. That's a major. I mean, for listeners that don't know about Katie, I'll tell you right now, Katie has lots of issues with her jaw. And had to go through it. Started out like with a dental thing, and then it moved into that.
Six surgeries.
She finally has this massive undertaking that required a lot of planning and a lot of consults with doctors to get it done. And it took a tremendous amount to make that decision.
And she still looks like Katie. It's great.
Yeah, she had to leave the state to do it. I mean, she went to a specialty hospital, I believe, in Florida. So she traveled from Georgia to Florida just to get the procedure
and
done.
And her attitude, it sounds like her. It's like she's just so happy.
She's great.
Yeah.
No?
So we don't do it enough. Then, Katie, we love you. And get well truly soon with that. Last question, because I saw right at the top of the page here, it talked about you being involved. You've driven in a demolition derby. An opportunity I was given, and there are a few of those in my life, where I wimped out. I just decided I didn't want to risk the neck injury, and I didn't participate. You did. How does an academic get himself into a demolition derby?
Well, I have a group of professor friends that cause a lot of trouble, right? We ride motorcycles together. We do all kinds of stuff. And this started as just we had an opportunity in Allegheny County, which is really where Jimmy is from.
Yep.
Jim, which is Allegheny County is the Kentucky of Western New York. It is.
That's where I come from.
He paints with words, does he not?
He does. He does. Yeah.
You get a free banjo lesson when you move into town.
Oh, wow. And,
I love it.
And it started out just as like sort of a stupid thing, right? And there's a ton of work to actually prepping the car. And we were very focused on that, right? And it didn't really occur to me until they announced my name as I was driving across the dirt field that I was in grave danger. Right. Like it was like it didn't really occur to me what I was doing.
Right.
And then about 30 seconds later, a Chevy knocked my engine off its engine mounts and knocked the transmission basically into the back seat.
Oh, my God.
What kind of car did you modify for the Derby? What were you driving?
It was a Dodge Aspen. It was really not a good
It's like a little guy. I remember that car. That's like a wimpy demo derby car. You need one of those like Lincolns or something like that. Wow, yeah.
Caprice.
And the primary thing is that you back up, right? That's when you try to do the most damage when you're going reverse into somebody so that you keep the engine going. That's the most important thing.
Absolutely. But when, you know, a Buick drives into your door and basically sticks into your car, you forget about which way you got to go.
Would you do it again?
Terrifying a bit.
I probably would not do it again.
Yeah, I didn't do that. I also had a chance to go up with the Blue Angels, and that's one of my greatest regrets.
Why'd you say no?
Because I was afraid. Because I'm a wimp. I remember turning it down. I was afraid.
What an experience.
Yeah, I should have done that. I don't know if I'd go back and do it again, though. I really, it was just...
Would you do a demolition air show?
I Thank you. On that note, Professor Daniel P. Johnson, will give you one last chance to say hello to anybody you want to say hello to. It's been fun. We love this segment, the TMOS Talking Head. Say hi to anybody you want to say hi to before we let you go.
All right, I want to say hi to Kaylee and my buddy Ben. And my buddy Paul, and my brothers Kevin and Steve, who are big Baltimore Billy Sikorsky fans. They're looking for an episode of Speaking of Sports.
Speaking of sports!
I gotta do more of that. Daniel, thank you. Professor Daniel P. Johnson, molding the packaging minds of the future, ladies and gentlemen. We appreciate that. Oscar gambles like he's mad at his money. That is a gem, my friend. We will say goodbye, and thank you so much for coming on another wonderful episode of TMOS Talking Heads. We'll be back with the homepage after this.
One, two, three.
Hey, guess who's here?
Hello. James Tiberius Cerritos. Ooh.
Jimmy Cerritos.
Yeah. Let's say you're the undisputed five-time king of the wings.
Hey.
But you've left all your favorite stuff back in your rental RV.
Oh, no.
You're not worried because you know you can replace all your treasures by visiting the Mike O'Mara Shopping Center. A case of wing sauce.
Put some wing sauce on it.
A Buffalo Bills mini replica football helmet.
Go Bills.
A stack of adult coloring books.
Mo, have you seen my crayons?
Or the latest release from Ozzy Osbourne.
Ozzy.
Just click the banner at MikeOMaraShow.com and order it all.
It'll be okay.
Gonna be okay. It'll be okay.
Yes.
Before we get to the sponsor, I want to say, you know, the Talking Head segment is our favorite, and we're always taking applicants. If you want to be a Talking Head, send me an email, Rob with two Bs, rob@MikeOMaraShow.com. Put Talking Head in the subject line, and also make sure you include a phone number. I love doing the segment. I love doing the pre-interview, and we're always looking for interesting people, so please hook me up with that. Love it.
We've had a series of wonderful academics and eggheads on the TMOS Talking Head. I'm looking for somebody that's done some serious jail time. That would be fascinating for the next time.
I think you would limit the call to 10 minutes, though.
it would be fun. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. This portion of our program brought to you by Cornerstone. We love them at Cornerstone. Listen up. Lower than expected unemployment numbers. They have pushed those mortgage rates back to the low levels of the year. Furthermore, a recent study indicated that a third of you who could do it and save hundreds per month with a refinance are yet to take advantage of these low rates. I get it. I'm one of those people. I have to be kind of pushed to do things like this because it's getting out of, to a degree, getting out of your comfort zone. But if you choose to do it, I'm here to tell you the people at Cornerstone that I know, like Mark Livingstone and Joanna and all the good people down there, they make it so easy. I am someone who hates to deal with the minutia of paperwork and all of that. They make it easy at Cornerstone. His team knows what they're doing. And listen, they got rates in the mid-2s now. Well, do you want a lower payment? You want to take advantage of that? Of course you do.
They teach you that here, Brad.
Let me tell you something. These rates in the mid-2s aren't going to last forever. Call my friends at Cornerstone first. They're a direct lender, and they'll meet or beat any offer. And listen, mortgage rates go up like a rocket. They come down like a parachute. So call today before this rocket takes off again and you've lost this opportunity. It happens in days where suddenly you're looking at a rate that's really not going to be favorable to you. Call the pros, 202-625-1221. That's 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. Call now. Now, Cornerstone First Financial, personal attention from application to closing.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device.
It's what you need to know. This is the homepage.
All right, this is a video that I think you can find online. Just Google it. But yesterday was World Bee Day. Bees! They're tearing my flesh off! I watched this video. If I watched it once, I watched it about 15 times. Angelina Jolie decided to raise awareness for bees by having herself covered in bees. I think this was on Instagram where I watched this. Angelina Jolie is still a very, very handsome woman.
Yes.
I mean, she looks like no other movie star I know. And she's sitting there. I watched the video of it, covered with bees. She had to sit still for 18 minutes. She also couldn't shower for 3 days before the shoot, and she had to rub pheromones on herself. Mm. She still looks beautiful in the video. They also put stuff in her nose and ears so the bees didn't have as many holes to climb in, which brings us to an interesting anecdote. One bee almost did find an entrance to climb into. A very inconvenient entrance. Angelina says, quote, "I did have one that got under my dress the entire time. It was like one of those old comedies. I kept feeling it on my knee and then on my leg. And then I thought, oh, this is the worst place to get stung."
Why would she wear really a dress? Close.
I don't know. I don't know. I didn't worry
about
that.
Well, she's a
woman.
Yeah, well, I mean, true.
She said, luckily, the bee remained a gentleman. So that's
the honeypot,
Mike. It's a pretty cool
video.
You
got to find the honey.
That, you call me gross.
Yeah, he is gross. He is very gross.
I prefer two bees, actually.
I will tell you that Tim Tebow is the athlete that will not die. This guy it's like the cat with nine lives.
Yeah.
Yesterday, he signed a one-year deal with the Jacksonville Jaguars. As a tight end, this reunites him with Urban Meyer, who got the gig from being head coach at Florida. And so he's now the head coach of the NFL's Jaguars. Tim hasn't officially made the team. He has to compete for a roster spot during the offseason. He says, quote, "I know it will be a challenge." I always want to use the Luke Bryant voice, but Tim Tebow doesn't sound like that. "I know it'll be a challenge, but it's a challenge I embrace." He's said, "I am dedicated to taking the direction of our coaching staff and learning from my teammates. I appreciate everyone's support as I embark on this new journey." I mean, he's a good athlete. Let's start with that. He just has never panned out in anything professional that he's tried to do in the world of athletics.
You know how athletes sometimes open restaurants?
Yes.
I think he should open one called a steakhouse. Call it Tim T-Bones.
T-Bones. Tim T-Bones. Wow.
Do you remember I had a firsthand experience with Tim Tebow in Los Angeles?
No.
Oh, yeah. Like
Wait a minute. I think I do. You talked
about this. We were staying at the Roosevelt, and there's this famous pool there. And I'm sitting there, and all my friends and our friends, you know, the girls and guys, were staring at the pool, and I'm like, who's in the, like, I thought it was some A-list celebrity. Johnny Depp has to be on the side of the pool. No, it's Tim Tebow, like a Greek god getting out of the pool. And I was like, well, I guess we should all stare. Like, he looks good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
He's the guy that I wouldn't yell at about jogging around here with his shirt off.
Hey, talk about a tight end, you know?
Tebow will turn 34.
You know what?
This might be his sweet zone. Do you know that?
Oh,
this might
absolutely.
Be Rob's sweet zone for
Perfect.
Taping the show.
Perfect.
Tebow will turn 34 in August, and he hasn't played football since 2015. He was drafted 25th overall in 2010. He's been doing this a long time.
Yeah.
Played with the Broncos and the Jets, then he signed with the Patriots, was cut after training camp, and played 4 preseason games with the Eagles before being released. He gets released a lot.
It's like being in radio.
In 2016,
on the beach, you know?
He switched to baseball, playing in the minor leagues until his retirement earlier this year. Well, if it started in 2016, I guess he did it for a while in the minors. Yeah, I guess that's what he's been doing.
2025, he'll play hockey. He just keeps going.
Speaking of sports, yeah. So we'll see if you're a Tebow fan, he's with the Jaguars now. New study out of the UK found men in their 20s care about looks 4 times more than women do. This is not news to me. I think we are visual creatures, we men. We pay attention to that type of thing. Women, not so much.
Women in their 20s care three times more about someone's personality. I think if you looked at my relationship, you could, you're seeing an example of a woman who cares more about personality than looks. Researchers looked at 9 different traits. And when it comes to dating, women care more about intelligence, education, age, and the emotional connection they form, while guys care more about looks and body type. We're not as evolved that way. It's a truism. Men's priorities do change as they get older, but even in their 60s, they care more about physical attractiveness twice as much as women do. And this last stat was interesting. Between 50 and 60, women start to care more about a guy's looks.
Uh-oh.
Christina. I don't know why I did that. And personality starts to matter a little less. When women get into their 50s and 60s.
I think it's 30s to 40s, as Shannon wrote me yesterday morning. Hey, jump on the bike. You do your best thinking on the Peloton. Like, what is that?
Oh, she's trying to get you to keep getting her done, right?
Yeah, but also, I think that, if you...
Call me fat.
As you get past 50, they've heard all the jokes, and maybe it wears thin, at least in my house.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said past 50. When did it start wearing thin in your house?
1950.
As a younger
Rob,
man.
Rob, this story is for you. You deal with allergies all the time. So you probably know these, but I'll give them to you anyway. This is how do you deal with seasonal allergies. We're in late spring. This is one of the times.
It's horrible up here,
man.
All right, so here it is. This is probably doable for both of you guys. Stay inside during the worst part of the day. Midday and afternoon are usually when pollen counts are highest, so try to be indoors during those hours. Okay. Number two, keep your car windows up. Even though a fresh breeze can feel good, keeping the windows closed helps limit the amount of pollen.
It was tempting. Yesterday evening was the most beautiful kind of springtime.
Gorgeous.
But
gorgeous.
A lot of people I saw posting from the D.C. area about
this mask
how beautiful it was.
Will save you a ton of heartache.
Yeah, and I've been wearing my mask just to walk to the car.
You would have looked like a fool 2 years ago or someone that's overdoing it. But now you have the excuse to just save yourself some grief.
I also walk with my eyes closed, but it's hard to find my car.
All right, Chicky.
You were saying, Mike?
You're one step ahead of me. It says wear a mask. We all have a bunch of face masks lying around, and they actually do a pretty good job limiting allergy symptoms when you're outside. I will say that it's eventually going to be pandemic-free around here. I hope we get there. I think I'm a typical American. I will take the mask. I'll have a mask in the car, but I just wearing it as much as I'm not wearing it as much as I thought I would be wearing it.
If we are back to normal 12 months from today, I will still be masking it when I spend outside.
Good.
Because allergies are
horrible. Another thing for you, Rob. Have Carrie take you out in the backyard and rinse you off before bed. Changing your clothes, taking a shower, and washing your hair after being outside. You don't have to worry about the hair part.
That
limits how much time you'll spend with pollen on your body. It also stops it from getting in your bed at the end of the day. And finally, vacuum more. Pollen and other allergens can get trapped in your rugs and carpets, and vacuuming frequently will get those allergens out of your house.
The worst thing for allergies for me that ever happened is we used to live in a house that had a clothesline in the backyard. Mm-hmm. Old house, old clothesline. And one time Carrie did the sheets and the pillowcases, and to make them smell nice, she dried them on a clothesline outside. And I came home and I went to bed that night, and I realized what she had done is set up sort of a pollen receptacle in the form of a pillowcase.
A pollen trap.
And when I put my face on it, my body started itching. I said, what is going... And she said, it shouldn't be a problem. The sheets are clean. I said, you didn't dry them outside, did you? She said, yeah. I said, why do you hate me? Why? It was the worst thing ever.
Okay. 3 months ago, a police officer named John Holt was named the top cop in Eastern Virginia.
John Holt!
You hear a lot about the Men in Blue, and I think it's important once in a while to, really give a nod to an officer who's doing something special. Earlier this month, he lived up to the title of top cop. He lifted a car off a woman who got pinned in a wreck.
Wow.
This is a great story. The car flipped during the crash, and she was conscious. But her head was pinned by the sunroof, and she couldn't breathe. John was first on the scene and decided there wasn't enough time to wait, so he used all his strength managed to move the car just enough to get her out, and his chest cam got it on video.
So, wow.
You know, I know we have a very, very tough time for law enforcement in this country right now, but there are cops that are heroes and getting stuff done like that every single day.
You have to highlight that.
Wow. And now, because I like balance on this show, let's go to the full side of the other spectrum with the worst kicker of the week that I say for Friday.
Oh, good.
A guy in Idaho, his name is Jesse James Moore. And he was arrested on Tuesday after he, well, he did a few things, three things. He stole a kid's bike after he asked if he could buy it. The kid said no. Then he just took it. Then he rode the bike to a parking lot where there was a Harley Davidson that he hopped on, and he stole that too. And then he couldn't ride it after he stole it. So he hopped on it, realized he couldn't ride it, and by that time, the cops knew where the guy was because he was making a spectacle of himself, and then he ran into a Subway sub shop.
Mm.
And earlier in the day, he'd been in the same Subway sub shop, and he stole like a handful of ham that he had in his pocket.
That's not okay.
Then he fell through the ceiling of the store while he was hiding from the cops, and he landed in the fetal position on the bathroom floor where the owner of the Subway sub shop kicked open the door and saw him whimpering in a ball in the corner. He was arrested, of course, and Jesse's nickname is Lucky. Not funny. Not funny at all. Sorry, I ran out of them. I ran out of them.
Mike, you could have just stopped on handful of ham and we would have been okay.
Big handful of ham. Probably eating ham slices all day long. You know? And all those chemicals got into his brain. Hardy, har. We'll take a break and come back with something very, very interesting on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hello. It's Bernie, and you know what I hate? Well, frankly, I hate most everything, but I really hate splinters. They hurt, and I'm always losing my tweezers, and it's frustrating. So, what's the solution? Stop it at the source. Make sure all your wood is smooth. Go to the Mike O'Mara Show Shopping Center and buy one of their fantastic Bernie sanders. Plug it in and go to work in your wood shop. Your raw lumber doesn't stand a chance. Smooth as a baby's ass and no more splinters. They sell tweezers too. Target and Walmart, they sell it all. Just access it at MikeO'MaraShow.com. Feel the burn.
Pain.
Pain.
All right, a lot of conflicting information out there when it comes to diet. If you ask about losing weight and getting information, you're going to get 20 different answers from 20 different people. And a lot of it is contradictory. That's why I love Noom. Noom is not about what you eat, but how you eat in general. Noom teaches you about eating so you can get smart about your food and the choices you make. If you digest all the material that's given to you on Noom, that you can take a little bit at a time each and every day, it'll help you because it's based in psychology. It teaches you how to eat because you don't need rules to lose weight. You need knowledge. With Noom, you pick the health goals that are right for you, and Noom personalizes a weight loss program to help your aspirations become reality. We've had a great relationship with Noom, and they are a great place to get started. They're flexible. They're empathetic. You can get on track tomorrow if you mess up the day before. It's really, really a good plan. And you don't have to commit to anything rigorous. They work with you. Oscar loves it. Carla loves it. Mm-hmm. I log my food with it every single day. They've got a great food database. There's a science to getting healthier. It's called Noom. Sign up for your trial today at noom.com/TMOS. That's Noom, people. Learn how to eat again with Noom. Sign up for your trial today. Let me give it to you. noom.com/TMOS. And you'll be ready to live healthier. Sign up for Noom today. noom.com/TMOS. All right. So I'm watching. I told people earlier in the week that I'm searching around for a different source of content and finally did something I normally don't do. I went backwards with the years. I think this show might have started and hit about 16, 17. It's called Startup. It's got really, it's a very, very sexually charged miniseries about crime and gangs, and it takes place in Florida. And at the center of this is this brilliant young lady who's all about crypto currency. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And now I know when we talk about cryptocurrency, you're talking about the very latest and what's the update. It's been in the news a lot lately. And this features like Haitian gangs and
Adam Brody's lead.
And
it premiered in 2016 on the Crackle Network. I don't know if they're even still around. I don't think they are.
No, Crackle's still around.
Is Crackle still hanging? It's pretty good. It's pretty good. It's not great, but it's pretty good.
And I'm watching
it. But it made me think that Elon Musk was in the news about Dogecoin, and you know, we've got Bitcoin with massive fluctuations just in the last week. The only guy on our show,
Joe Coin,
because he Joe Coin. Oh my God, that's my old agent. You just keep your mouth shut, Mike.
We've taken a hit on value, so
I could use him. I could use him.
You know what about him? He was fun.
Oh, he was super fun. So getting back to the Bitcoin. So I know for a lot of people in our audience that know all about it, this is a digital currency.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, in this TV series, they spend a lot of time explaining it, and I still don't get it. They do a lot of stuff by saying you don't need a bank, all you need is your phone.
I think most people feel this way, Mike. And full disclosure, we have an advertiser coming on called Coinbase, which is an exchange where you could buy this cryptocurrency. And they're built on that.
I'm glad we're getting an advertiser on that can maybe help people with it because I want. And this is not a shill.
No,
Oscar just
Mike
mentioned
didn't know
that
this.
Because
I didn't
talk about
it. And Mike, you've watched this. This show is about 5 years old now. So I'm curious.
I just started watching it. I didn't even know it was that old.
I'm curious about this because when I first heard about cryptocurrency, it was about mining cryptocurrency and finding it. So is it all a long enough time ago that people are like searching and mining for it, or are they buying it?
Just as a background, this takes place with a brilliant lady. Obviously, she went to Stanford, and she's living with a guy, and then she moves back into her parents' house.
Atmara Marrero, with
all these computer racks,
right.
with all this different stuff, and she's designing algorithms.
She designs her own cryptocurrency, but at the root of it, I guess my background is I remember talking about this, and look,
I remember not understanding.
You guys made fun of me, but the guys on Big O and Dukes, right? You know, made sense at the time, where we would sit there and I said, I think it's like $1,000 now. Maybe I'll buy a coin. I remember going to buy a coin and it felt like I was doing something crazy on 4chan.
Right.
I didn't believe in actually making that that investment on something that I was like, am I actually going to own this?
You did or you didn't?
No, I didn't. But I would bang the drum like everything. And I just didn't have the disposable income to just risk $1,000 on a coin.
Right.
So then I thought I could mine it. And I wanted to build a mine in the back of Big O and Dukes because we didn't pay utilities. And I found a friend, his name's Pat, to help me build the mine. So I figured I spec'd out how we could build a mine and see how we could actually start digging for not just Bitcoin, but Ethereum. And that was another month of my life.
So you went all in. Now, let me just, because I really, really, really want to get my head around it a little bit better. So when you were doing this back in the day, mining for it, is building a system of computers that would seek out quality, valuable Bitcoin.
Yes.
Like that you could get in at on a bottom floor.
They are. They're just doing math, these machines. They're computing looking for, they call it digging, but they're just solving a ton of different equations to try to get to a coin.
But when you mine for the coin, that's different than buying it. When you mine it and find it, is it free and then you have it?
If you find it, yes.
Who hides it?
Well, that's a different story. They thought that they found the founder, remember Pony, of cryptocurrency, of Bitcoin, and they had a whole expose. It might have been the New York Times. I'd have to confirm. And then people still don't know who actually came up with this coin. It's amazing. It's amazing. But
I would love. Do you think our listeners would be interested in getting someone on the show
that
could really dumb it down and give us like the because the second question with that said, it strikes me as everything I read about it right now, could it be possibly out of reach for the average schmo that's out there? Because I'm hearing massive numbers.
Bitcoin just dropped in one day. I want to say 24%.
Crazy that a virtual currency that doesn't really exist would devalue.
I think it stabilized at just roughly, it went down 15% when all said and done within one day. I think there is a place
like
for
a stock.
Like a stock, but yeah. It's not as it's so volatile right now. Any news will move the coin. When Elon Musk talks about Dogecoin, which was a joke at first. That was at $1.7 and then it went down to $4.30. Maybe I think it's $5 right now.
Yeah.
There is going to be a place for digital currency in our world. There is now, of course. And if you thought it was out of reach 5 years ago, what is it going to be worth, I would say, 5 years from now?
So my question is that I'm so out of my depth that I'm not even sure
it's if a bunch of our listeners got together and bought one coin and shared it? You can buy a fraction of a coin with Coinbase. You can buy a fraction of ones.
They call it a slice.
So I take a slice. I love slices.
Let me ask this. There are people out there that follow this like the stock market every day, right? And there are people out there that aren't there a lot of, say, miners that are out there waiting for that precipitous fall where they all jump in and then it shoots right back up again? Isn't that the way it's rolling now?
The altcoins. Let's just talk about Bitcoin for now.
All right.
For Bitcoin, it's getting harder and harder to find these coins. So mining for them is getting more and more expensive because you need more computing power. But
you can still buy them though outright.
Yes, you can buy them outright. It's probably less expensive now, especially if you don't have the infrastructure to just buy the coin outright.
I hate to say this again.
One Bitcoin right now.
Yes.
One Bitcoin is the equivalent of $40,578.40.
So if you're on the golf course and someone says they're into cryptocurrency, I think it's just fun to say and it's exciting to talk about, but I don't think most people understand what to do with it. They don't know. But like Tesla just said, they're no longer going to take cryptocurrency because it's too the impact on the environment's too steep.
Because the electricity
on the
environment.
Because it takes so much power to actually get to the mine for the coin to create this altcoin world.
Mike, I need to ask you this because I think we're sort of at the same level of understanding. Does it bother you still? And I hate to repeat this. That somehow you can go out and mine for it and people don't know where it's from and it's just out there?
It's a decentralized monetary system. Okay, you usually need
I get that.
A government to back the US dollar.
Right.
And I frankly if I may say, I think our government now and our treasury, they need to get involved and create their own digital currency that's backed by the US government.
Well, you said I believe yesterday or the day before that paper money is dead. No one's using it anymore. And so
but the thing you learn from watching this show Startup that I'm watching now, older show, is that obviously Bitcoin and any cryptocurrency is a tremendous threat to the banking system,
of course,
which controls so much. It says here the price of Bitcoin fell as much as 29% on Wednesday after the China Banking Association warned member banks of risks associated with digital currencies. Other digital currencies suffered sharp declines as well. The volatility was on full display. The decline had narrowed to below 10% in early afternoon trading. Bitcoin has lost about 40% of its value since April 13th, when it hit a high of more than $64,000 per coin. Would I be accurate in saying it? It's still a thing?
Oh, it's massive.
It's massive, and I'm still curious.
Like, if you were going through a divorce, if I had a friend that was going through a divorce and he wanted to hide his assets, you could probably do it with cryptocurrency.
Put all your money in Bitcoin. Yeah. Okay, we'll leave it on
just
that.
Just a thought. Pro tip.
The Michael Mara Show does not subscribe to Oscar Santana's comment that he just
said. If I had a friend,
that's correct.
You had a chance to buy one at $1,000.
Oh my God!
Look at you.
Regrets.
You know what? I think we need to get back to our real stupid show.
Yes.
And that's what we're going to do when we come back. We're going to talk about what Carla and Michael want in my
house.
That might drive me out of it.
I used to be the life of the party, and so he said, "That's where I put my thermometer."
Okay. I don't want him anymore. I'm tired of him.
I love it.
He's been gone for like 20 years. Rob, you're fascinated by him. You love him. I do not love him.
He was quirky. He was quirky. We had a motto around the office, and it was Johnny No. Because he always did things wrong.
Johnny No.
Okay, I'll retire.
Have him come back and do a new one, but that's an old one. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. Let's talk ears. just like fingerprints. No two ears are exactly alike. That's why your earbuds probably start getting uncomfortable after a while. After a while, my earbuds get comfortable as soon as, uncomfortable as soon as I put them in my ear. I hate discomfort. Ultimate Ears fits. True wireless custom fit earbuds from Ultimate Ears are here to change all that. These are the world's most comfortable earbuds. You get a guaranteed perfect fit in 60 seconds. They stay put when you're on the go, and they feel great. Ultimate Ears fits actually physically mold to your ear for a perfect fit. Just put them in, connect to the app, and watch the purple LEDs transform the earbuds to your unique shape. And their charge lasts all day. Ultimate Ears fits are perfect for listening to your favorite shows, like The Michael Barra Show, everybody. Oh. Right up till bedtime, and for either music or voice. The sound is amazing. And if you don't love them, Ultimate Ears offers a 30-day money-back guarantee, plus free shipping, free returns, and a one-year warranty. For a limited time, get 15% off your pair of Ultimate Ears Fits True Wireless Earbuds at ue.com/fits. Just use promo code TMOS at checkout. That's 15% off with promo code TMOS at ue.com/TMOS. And moi to you. That's what I'm talking about,
thank
pal.
Thank you. Thank you. I invite you.
That is what I'm talking about. Yes,
and I think Oscar will probably second this. Watch the video on their website about how you custom fit these to your ears. It's amazing.
These were announced publicly roughly 6 months ago. And when Rob came in, he goes, do you know anything about this new? And I said, what?
Yeah, it's so cool.
I would
cool.
have purchased these regardless. This is the next generation. If you're into any type of, you know, exercise or walking around, you want something for the office.
And this, well, I mean, perfect fit. I don't like exercise, but I love fidelity, and they sound amazing. So,
Rob puts them in for his walk from the couch to the couch. That's where he puts those in.
I put them in and use them to call the pizza place.
There you go.
There it is. Listen, the other night.
Listen.
Hey, listen. Mrs. O'Mara was sitting out there. And I'm not sure what the beverage of choice she was enjoying was. I wasn't, but she was enjoying perhaps. Perhaps it was a margarita. I'm not sure. I'm really
are you on the margarita train or are you not margariting?
I like margaritas. I like them, you know. I
are
like
you still
them
keep them in the freezer occasionally? You buy them at
I'm
the...
I'm battling my demons right now, so I'm on and off. You know, I talked to Oscar about this, that, you know, it's... I just it's almost like I'm relearning whether or not I can participate because I just don't recover. I don't.
Slow
it's
recovery
not good
is tough.
To me anymore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A dry mic is a happy mic.
Well, I think a dry mic you're going to get for the rest of my life. You're going to get more of a dry mic than. But Mike will occasionally have a moment. All right.
Does dry mic refer to himself in the third person?
Dry Mike can be dry Mike is just as fun,
yes,
as
and witty.
as drink Mike in certain situations.
I agree to that.
Dry Mike in other situations, maybe not. Really,
like
be hard.
Like an evening on the town,
it'd really be hard for us to go to a meet and greet.
Yes,
with Dry Mike, that just can't happen. Sorry. I'm 61. I'll be dead someday soon. Sooner than you guys. Dry Mike is going to be around a lot, but it's not exclusive.
You highlighted outside of age when we were having our private conversation. Mike, thank you for being so open. You highlighted wanting to be present for your son at all times.
Well, and you had said to me, you know, regarding what we do, that's helpful as well.
Yes.
And I agree with you. And it was very nice what you said. And I really thought it was helpful. And I remember stuff like that. Stuff like that lingers longer. Yeah. And I remember that. So I'm observing Carla as she's getting a little, and finally it comes out. and she says something along the lines of, I need to talk to you.
Oh boy.
And we sit down and she said,
oh boy.
We, and she says it without asking. This is not asking. She says, Michael and I are getting a couple of cats.
Ooh.
And the way my brain works, we have to use the old famous sound effect. I freak. Here's the way I look at it. On the large scale of things, and I don't know where she is on it. Right now she's back at her gym, probably tossing ropes.
Right.
And so I'm not going to call her in the middle of this, but maybe we could get her on to talk about it. Here it is. I, in one of my marriages previous to this one, I went to the cat experience and I'd never had it before because I'm not fond of cats. You know, anybody who listens to this show knows that I'm really not fond of cats. I talk about cats negatively. I make funny jokes about cats not being very nice. I don't care for cats. Look, if I go to somebody's house and they have a cat and it's a cool cat and the cat wants to come up and be pet, no problem at all. I got no problem with that.
But I think you're with me, Mike. The very, very best cat is only as good as a pretty good dog.
Mm. 1,000%. Mm. And we are on the heels of bringing an animal into this house that I have a relationship with unlike any other dog I have ever owned in my life. I love this dog. Even though the dog drives me crazy, went nuts. There was a giant rabbit outside when I was picking up his poo today.
Rabbit.
This was the way. By the way, we're taping early today on Friday morning. I have to tell you this. This is the worst walk of the week that I've had. All right. Let me tell you how it happened. He sees a rabbit. And he literally rears up on his legs, and I'm with straining. I'm not a small person.
Oh, but dogs,
he is,
man,
straining against me and going. And I'm like, Winslow, no, Winslow. And finally, and then right after that, he takes his dump. And he is normally a really good dog dumper. Usually finds a patch of lawn. It comes out solid, easy peasy. But anybody who picks up dog scat knows what I'm talking about. Yeah. Winslow obviously maybe modified his diet last night because because what comes out are the little squigglies. And then he drops one on the sidewalk.
Oh, no.
And the one that he dropped, anybody knows dog poop knows what I'm talking about. And the last dollop was the one he put on the sidewalk. And when I went to pick it up, I felt like Pablo Picasso because it was disgusting. And it was just so, it was a rough morning.
Like Guernica.
But I will say, I still love him.
Yeah.
Love him. I can't even describe how much I love this animal. He's sleeping in bed with us now.
Nice.
And it is bliss, except for the middle of last night when I thought he was shaking his ears. You know when dogs do that?
You gotta go to the restroom.
It's a tremendously, well, I don't know whether it was that.
Oh, that's what Santos does. He'll shake and then you gotta take him out. Yeah.
Well, this is, I thought he was shaking his ears and he did it like 5 times.
Wow.
And I said, what, do you have a bug in there or something? So I wake up, wasn't doing that. It was his snore. His little Winslow face with that skin. It's going.
That's adorable.
Aww. It was.
But back to the cats.
Sweet boy.
I want to see that.
I do too.
I love my family. We have a beautiful little Chihuahua and we have a Boston Terrier right now. And there is no need to add. I believe that, the white devil, we Caucasians have a tendency to collect things as a people. All right. We tend to like to collect cars, animals, and I'm having no part of this. I'm not going to have a menagerie.
No, you're not in my Noah's Ark.
It's just like, I don't want to. I remember I had cats that pooped under the stairs in the basement.
Devious.
I remember cats that peed on carpeting in the corner. I don't need any more animals to add to that. We're fine now. We've got a great balance.
And why did she come out swinging with 2 cats?
Because there was a little, drinky-drinky involved in this where I don't know where she stands on it. I am right now, she'll probably hear this. She listens to most shows. I have not broached the subject since. She woke up kind of, how you doing, honey? And she wasn't feeling that well the next morning. Didn't address the subject. And I think maybe, this is about a week ago. So
Maybe she anchored high and thought you could meet in the middle to one.
That's a negotiation.
Yeah.
We want 15 cats.
Oh, we'll get
Listen,
one.
we have a Boston Terrier in this house, and I emphasize terror ear. All right, he is a terrier, and I just don't know how that's going to work. I got 13 rubber dog toys that are sitting out in the living room right now because the ones that we got that were the plushy toys, there was stuffing all over the house because he tears these things apart. A cat. First of all, you bring a cat into this house, and there might be a murder of some kind.
The dynamic would be off. You got to get him at the same time.
That's why she wants two, because it's a spare.
Right. There's one whole thing about it. But you know what? Cats, Rob, really, cats, And the people that put the pictures of their cats up.
I've had a good cat in the past. I got a cat with my marriage that was a pretty good cat, and they're fine. But they're not a dog. And also, if a dog is already there, don't introduce a cat to the situation. You're going to get yourself in trouble.
You tried the cat in Maine. You had to give it back.
Yeah. I will keep you posted, but I don't right now think that it's a prudent thing to do. And really, when you no offense to all the cat lovers.
I'd love a bird.
Right?
I would. By the way, now why are you? You've never had one, so why are you shaking your head?
My father had one. My father has had birds, and he had little birds.
What kind of birds?
Like budgies, little budgie guys. You know,
what are budgies?
I don't know what budgies are.
It's a very common little parakeet, like a green and yellow.
What are budgie?
Look that up.
But what I don't like are big.
I thought that's what you had when you bought the cheap shorts and got a wedgie. It's like a combination of a budget wedgie. Look at that. Rob's going over to the avocados. He's got a budgie. There it is.
I love the produce, Mike. But if you get a bird, do not get like a big talking bird. I don't trust talking birds. Don't like talking birds.
I've always been fascinated. I know they're alive.
They are beautiful.
Yeah, he had one named Pig and one named Eyes.
How long did they stay around for?
He had them for a couple of years.
I think the big birds.
Oh, the big birds lived like 80 years. Yeah.
Your cockatiels and stuff.
You had
like
one
that
in your neighborhood in Manassas that you would sometimes see out behind your house. A neighbor had one. A big red one. Yeah.
What, like a bird? Like a parrot?
Yeah. I saw him a few times outside your house in Manassas.
What am I, flying?
Well, I mean, he took him outside.
He'd like hang out with them on like his shoulder or on the fence.
Yeah.
Well, how did I miss this?
We would park on the side of your house and see your neighbors all the time.
All the time. He gave him Redskins tickets.
Yeah.
Washington football team.
Was it the big tall dude?
I think it was, yeah.
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 The guy that's like back over behind the sun porch?
That's the guy.
And he had a bird?
Big red one.
I should have talked to him more. All right. Anyway, he yelled at me one time for having a 5 a.m. party. We'll take a break, and we will come back with the digital dumpster and find out who's inside. Right here. Won't that be fun? I'm like,
maybe something else sucks around here. People suck. People
suck. People suck. Now, I know I've done this before, but I want to try it again. A new idea to replace the mailbag.
People suck.
Has someone done something that just so gets under your skin that complaining to your partner or your children or anybody in your room or your close friends just isn't enough? Someone who's done something so egregious
and it's
such a violation of your social norms that you want to scream it?
Here's what we do, folks, is you email me, Rob with two B's, rob@mikeomarashow.com. Make sure you write in the subject line. People suck. People
suck. People suck. That's right. How are we doing with that, Rob? Any bites yet?
Yeah, we're getting some stuff rolling in. I think we're going to get more over the weekend. Just remember, get them by Monday night so we can have them ready for
Monday
Tuesday.
Monday night.
Yes.
All right. People suck. It's going to be next week. Hope it works. And if it doesn't, we'll do something else. Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show. Here's the bad news. The world is full of uncertainty, and that might leave you feeling stressed or anxious. With everything we've been through over the last year, I can understand anybody feeling that way. Here's some good news. You can navigate change, you can feel more relaxed, and you can quiet your mind. And this is a great way to do it. The company is called Calm. We're proud to be partnering with Calm. Calm is the number one mental wellness app to give you the tools that improve the way you feel. Clear your head with guided daily meditations, improve your focus with Calm's curated music tracks, and drift off to dreamland with Calm's imaginative sleep stories. Now, one of the ways I think, I remember the DC area when I would be so amazingly stressed out in traffic. You know, you put their music tracks on and it helps. It's been documented that that type of stuff tones you down a bit. It's really, really terrific. If you go to calm.com/TMOS, you get a limited time offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription, which includes hundreds of hours of programming and new content is added every single week. Over 100 million people around the world use Calm to take care of their minds, sleep more, stress less, live better with Calm. It's okay to need help sometimes, and Calm can provide support. Please let us know how it's working for you. We'd love to share your stories on the Mike O'Meara Show when you get Calm and you tell us how it works for you. For listeners of our show, Calm offering a special limited time promotion, 40% off at calm.com/TMOS. Go to calm.com/TMOS for 40% off limited, unlimited access, sorry about that, to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/TMOS. And now I will calmly go over to the dumpster, and it's really not spinning it, it's opening it.
Well, there's a wheel that you have to spin before you can open it. It unlocks it.
Okay.
Darling, you look marvelous.
Hey, it was Billy Crystal as Billy Fernando digital
from
dumpster.
A long time ago. Yeah, that was special. All right, that's exciting. That's very, very exciting as from his character from the 1970s.
He was wearing an ascot. What do you say, Billy?
Darling, you look marvelous.
There are certain pieces of music that are so iconic that you can perform them in almost any style, any manner, and you're going to recognize them. I found this quite entertaining. This is a song played by a magic marker on a piece of paper. Mike, name this tune.
Stars and Stripes Forever.
Close. I'll give you a hint. It's got the CinemaScope extension.
I got it. It's like that. It's not 20th Century Fox.
Exactly, Oscar.
Well done, Oscar. Well done.
And I love the fact that they did the extended version for when a movie's in widescreen. But this is a great piece of music.
I love this. My son loves this too. La da da da.
I like it when they have the version of even Cannonball Run where the race car races up and then shoots out of the front.
And then they get to put in a Burt Reynolds laughter.
How do I remember that? Like, this is crazy.
But also,
this show was talking about cryptocurrency a few minutes ago. Isn't that amazing?
And then the best version of the 20th Century Fox fanfare. For anyone who's ever had a kid in elementary school, okay? So whether you got a magic marker or a recorder, you can do the 20th Century Fox fanfare. Mike, Law and Order update. Law and Order update. An 11-year-old Florida girl, and I saw the...
I watched this tape.
The video is really scary. There was an attempted kidnapping. A guy pulls up.
Oh, God, I watched it 20 times.
Goes and tries to grab her. She credits this idea from watching the show Law and Order. He was unsuccessful in the kidnapping, but this kid, thinking ahead, when she was a kid, the attempt was happening, she was playing with blue slime.
Mm-hmm.
She threw blue slime on the attacker. That really helped the cops identify the attacker. This is a smart kid.
The man holding the knife came towards me, and I tried to run, but he caught me. I was able to get the slime onto his upper arm, and I think a little bit on his lower arm. But I knew that might be better evidence for if the cops do find him.
The victim at the time of the attempted abduction was playing with blue slime. The suspect, when we caught him, had blue slime all over his own arms.
So not only is he a kidnapper, he's got bad hygiene. Mm.
So I watched this a bunch of times. Took place down in Florida. This little angel that almost went through something that is unspeakable had the presence of mind, and it brought tears to my eyes. She picked up her book bag as she was running away.
Mm-hmm.
She picked up her book bag. She was fleeing from this guy.
11.
This
11
monster,
years old.
Who, by the way, I'm all for the judicial system and all that, but boy, you got the tape. The guy has priors. You see that, Can't we just take him out to the swamp?
Please.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, can't you just do that? And I watched that, and Carla pointed it out to me. She said, oh, my God, she picked up her book bag. And these monsters are out there among us. Way to go, kids. Teach your kids. Let them know. Michael knows. We've given him the lowdown on stranger danger, and it really is something. And this pudgy douche that's, with his crazy eyes. I sometimes I just think a prison sentence is too good. Feeding the guy's too good. It's just terrible that there are people that do this. I know he's a human being, and
shocking tape.
But boy, if you ask me about the death penalty in situations like that, I'm like, okay, bye bye.
Okay, by me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love the Muppet franchise, always have since I was a kid. Julia is still in love with the Muppets, and I love the fact that it's something we share. They posted a great PSA the Muppets did yesterday. This is Gonzo, and what a relatively newer Muppet, Mike, Pepe the Prawn. He's a big shrimp, and this is a PSA that they posted from Muppet Industries.
Pepe and I have just been vaccinated.
Four arms, no waiting.
Getting vaccinated means we're one step closer to getting back to normal.
See, even if you weren't normal to begin with.
So get informed on vaccines now.
Go ahead. Give it a shot. See what I did? See what I said?
Clever.
Give it a shot.
Yeah.
See what I did?
Love that voice.
Oh, it's great. Pepe
Love
the Prawn.
Pepe voice. Not too over the top. I like that a lot.
He was in one of the Muppet movies, and the running joke was, hey, you and your shrimp. He's, I am not a shrimp. I'm a prawn.
That's funny.
And we close with this. And Mike, if I have to, you know, full disclosure, I'm just setting you up. Today is National Talk Like Yoda Day.
When 900 years old you reach, look as good you are not.
Any thoughts?
Dry I will be. Until meet and greet, I will attend.
That is your digital dumpster. Have a great weekend, everybody.
I will drink in great quantities. It will be.
Anywho, we got to roll. Thank you very much. We got a great bonus show coming up this week too. And have a fabulous, safe weekend, everybody. We'll be back on Monday with a brand new episode. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, this is Mike O'Mara saying, "Show long, everybody." Bitcoin.
I'm a prawn.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara bonus show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Darling, you look marvelous.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Leave Britney Spears alone right now!
I am alive and kicking.
If you like to eat, we are having taco night. Goodbye.
Oh, good for you!
What do I do?